I was impressed with the little song that Sister Holly sang this morning. I'm not sure exactly how the Lord wants to use it, but I want to share the words with us tonight to start out with. It says, I started walking when I was small. I'm learning new things as I grow. Some people say I'm getting so tall. Where did that little kid go? Inside and out, God is making me new. You may not see it happening until He is through. The chorus is, little by little, I'm changing. I'm growing, little by little. I hope that it's showing. I'm not who I'll be. I'm not who I was. I'm somewhere in the middle. But God is changing me little by little. Sometimes it feels like I'm so far away from all that I know I should be. But His word says that He'll finish one day all that He started in me. I look at me and I don't understand, but God has a vision and God has a plan. You feel that way?
Yeah.
I feel that God hasn't completed it for any of us yet. He has a plan. He knows what He's doing and we can trust Him to do and perform it. The scripture, I read a scripture just last night. Impressed it upon me. I wrote it at the top of my Bible. Don't remember where it is, but He said He would perform it. That which He has begun in you and me, He will finish.
Yes.
If we will let Him. We have to cooperate. We have to yield ourselves to Him and allow Him to work the work He is purposing to work. So I'd like to talk just a little bit tonight on spiritual growth. And I want to begin with the scripture in 1 Peter 2:2. And it says, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word for the reason that you may grow thereby. You know, we have some babies in our midst, little children, and we'd all be very concerned if they stayed the same size, wouldn't we? But as the weeks go by and we see the babies and the little children from Sunday to Sunday, and pretty soon they're changing and they're growing and they're developing, and you can just see how wonderful it is for babies to come and be such an infant, and in just a few months begin smiling and doing the baby talk. This morning in Sunday school, Karen was holding Chase and he was looking back, and he was looking right at my daughter and just giving her such sweet little smiles, and she leaned over to me and she says, I'm a new face. Well, I'm so thankful that the Lord doesn't require us to, as spiritual babes, to be any more than a spiritual babe at the time that we are spiritual babes. Now, He does have expectations for us for spiritual growth. But he is so good to let us be babes while we are babes. And it is so important that when we are babes, that we act like babes. That we not try to act like we're 10 years old when we're 2 years old. You know, children, babies, young children, even with the children we have here tonight, they're very dependent. They are not independent. They may think they're independent at a certain age, 6, 7. But overall, they need their parents. And they need those that can help them grow. If they didn't have someone to prepare the food for them, what would happen? What would happen to the babies if they didn't have the milk? And this says, as newborn babes, desiring the sincere milk of what? The Word. So the spiritual application here is that from the very moment we're born, now we can say that about the natural babies. Aren't they almost instantly hungry? And don't we satisfy them with milk? They have no other source of food at that point but milk. But when we come to the Lord and give our heart and our life, it doesn't matter how old we are. We can be 50 years old when we get saved. And maybe we think, oh, I can't act like a baby. It is so much better for us to accept the stage of our spiritual life, just like an infant accepts, doesn't know anything else, is totally dependent on those who to care for him. It's so much better to allow the Lord to develop us at a good rate. We often think about trees. When we plant a tree, do we expect it to be a full-grown tree the next year? Lauren planted 2 cherry trees in our backyard 2 years ago. They're still small trees. I don't really look for a full crop on those 2 trees this year. Maybe 2 more years, there may be a crop of cherries. But if we planted a tree and was disappointed because it wasn't full grown the next year, what would we do? We would probably cut it down and give up on it. Well, that's, I planted it. It didn't produce in 1 year. You know, the Lord wants us as the people of God to recognize those that are babes and to support them and to stand by them and to nurture them. And there's a scripture that I meant to look it up, and maybe you've read it before. It speaks about being dandled on the knee. You know what that means? Right now, I dare say that Chase has been dandled on the knee a lot. They like that. In a way, it is maybe pampering them, and it is maybe even entertaining them. But that's what we do to babies and little children, young children. We pet them, and we make a whole lot of room for our babies, don't we? If they cry a whole lot, you know, what do we do? Do we take extreme measures and, well, this baby just cries too much and I've got to stop? No. We're patient and we endure and we work with them and we try to get their mind off of whatever is causing them to cry. We need to be that way with the babes, the spiritual babies. And you know, I really am not looking across the congregation tonight, and I'm not pointing a finger at anyone and saying, you are a spiritual babe. But I'll tell you what, I wish we had a bunch. And maybe that's part of the message tonight, is that we might prepare for some babies in our congregation. Well, I think Amanda and Ben came to me and they said, there's going to be another baby in the congregation. Can you stand it? Well, you know what? And you've heard me say this. I've always said I can preach louder than they can cry. To have a crying baby in a congregation is not a bad thing. Now I'm talking literally. If that is the only way that we can have new spiritual babies, let's do it with all of our might. And let's teach them and be there and instruct them that they can grow spiritually. We want the atmosphere of the congregation to be such that our little children will grasp hold of it. But let's pray for the Lord to give us some spiritual babies. And let's be prepared to know how to nurture them and to care for them and to feed them. They have to have a different food than older children, older adults. 1 Corinthians 3, and I'm going to look at verses 1 and to 3. There is something else there about the kind of food that babies will have. The third chapter, verses 1 and 2. It says, I could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. What does that mean? Calling a babe in Christ carnal. You know, if they grow in a balanced way, they won't be jumping ahead and doing things that you and I might do that are saved for 50 years. So we might even see some carnality in babes in Christ. But let's bear with them. Yes. And let's pray for them. And let's be an example to them. And let's not give up on the babes in Christ if they happen to act a little carnal at some time. Verse 2 says, I have fed you with milk and not meat. Now, in a mixed group of people that are on different levels of spirituality or maturity, I firmly believe that God is able to feed everyone, that you can grasp something at your level, that if there is a babe in Christ in the congregation, that God is able to protect them.
Yes.
You know, I've testified to that. God said, it's none of your business what I do with your words when they leave your mouth. I can convert it into their own language. Thank the Lord. I love it. I love to remember that time. Because at the time, the first time that the Lord gave it to me, I was young in my ministry. We had older people in the congregation. They were far ahead of me. They were much more spiritual than I was. And yet I felt that I was saying baby talk. You know, the Lord can take baby talk and feed the older ones. He can convert it into something that works for them. And then as time went on, and it was Sister Mabel and Larry started coming here, newly saved, didn't understand the vocabulary of the Church of God, and the Church of God does have a distinct vocabulary. And after a time of you hearing the vocabulary, you get acquainted with it, and you can relate to it, and you start using it. That's how it works. So I went before the Lord, and I said, Lord, how can I feed the whole congregation and feed them at the same time? The Lord said it again. It's none of your business. He just simply added then, you preach what I give you. I will protect them. They will not hear what they don't need to hear. I trusted that, and I followed it, and God worked. So God, in a message, can send out milk, and he can send out meat. For whatever your level of spiritual growth or maturity, he wants to feed everyone. Now, there is a commandment. A command has been given unto those that stand in this place that are called of God. We are commanded to feed the Church of God. We cannot do that in our own selves. We have not the ability or the understanding or the wisdom to know how to do that. Oftentimes when we're seeking for a message, we're saying, Lord, you know who will be there. You know who won't be there. You know what they need. I don't know what they need. Send what they need. So God is the one that is over it all. But he is so desirous that his children, see, he is the heavenly father. We are the children. No matter how long we've been saved, no matter what our age is, no matter if we think we're mature, we're still a child in his sight. And from the until the end of our life, we need to be growing, maturing, developing. He desires us to ever be going forward. He doesn't want to see his people floundering. He wants his people to be prospering and growing in the things of God, in the knowledge of God. Speaking of knowledge, knowledge is so important in the life of a saint. I'll just say it that way. Yes. There are people that are afraid of knowledge. I remember hearing this a number of years ago. Somebody that got saved out of the world, sweetly saved, miraculously saved, and that person could not read. But that person was like this sincere baby that wanted the milk. And this person got a hold of the cassette tapes and listened to them all the time. Going to work, coming home from work, they feasted on it. Maybe you and I have such a wonderful blessing to be able to pick up the Bible and read it, but not everyone can. And so this person was growing in the things of God in leaps and bounds because he was so hungry. And he was feasting on the Word of God. And there came a time then he was tempted and he fell away. And this person said, I wish I did not know all I know. Well, why would he say that? Because he knows he is responsible. Yes. Knowledge is a wonderful thing for the people of God. Don't hide from it, run from it, resist it, seek for it. So it makes you more responsible. Don't resist it. Say, I want to be responsible. I've done this. Since I heard about this person, it put a fear on me to not have the full knowledge, to seek after it, not be afraid. Lord, I want to know everything about you that I need to know. I want to know exactly how to live to please you. That is good for us to know those things. Seek after the knowledge of God. There is a scripture, and I've given it many times, and I give it at an altar also. But the Lord gave it to me a number of years ago, and it was a scripture that was actually of the prophecy of Christ. And when the Lord gave it to me, the Lord spoke and said, what is for Christ is for you. And I pursue it today. I use these words in my prayer nearly every day. Lord, give me the spirit of wisdom and understanding. See, I'm asking for the understanding of knowledge. Give me the spirit of counsel and might. Give me the spirit of knowledge and the fear of God. I don't refrain from it. God knows how to give you and me understanding and knowledge that will meet the stage that we are living spiritually. He's not going to give you something way out there. And I hope to express this as how he's going to do it, that we can mature and grow spiritually all the way through our life. Thank the Lord. So our comparison of our children and how we see them grow is the same for God. I want to read a scripture now in Galatians 4 and 1 through 3. And I'm going to cut it just a little bit. It's not going to take away from the real essence of the scripture. It's so that you can grasp the real essence. This is speaking of the heir. You know what an heir is. One that is to inherit something. You're counted an heir right now. If you're living for the Lord, you're going to inherit some blessings. You're going to inherit eternal life. There are things that God has ordained for you and me to inherit. So this is speaking about people like you and me, heirs. So the heir, as long as he is a child, and I have dot, 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 though he be Lord of all. Now what that says to me is, though he's a child, he hasn't come to maturity yet, but he's going to be Lord of, he's going to get his inheritance. You're going to get your inheritance. Though he be Lord of all, but until that time, I put that in there, until that time, he is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children. Now, you may know how long you've been saved. To say that I really kept track of the year, generally Lauren did. I don't even keep track of the year I started preaching. He did. But oftentimes, not all the time, you and I had to be taught. We had to have tutors and governors. what we're doing here tonight is part of learning something of even where you are right now.
Yes.
And where you're going. Every one of us are not going to be where, we should not be where we are today, next year. We should be further down the road. We should have learned something. We should have gained some real victories. We should have been through in a year, fought some battles, resisted the enemy, learned better how to resist the enemy. And how do we learn that? We learn it by coming to service. We learn it by hearing testimonies. We learn it through Sunday school. We learn it through the preached word. We even learn it through the songs. We are ever being taught. Something is tutoring us and governing us and enlarging our understanding and enlarging our minds. And we don't come here and sit and do nothing. Something is happening. Should be. And if you and I have a hungering and a thirsting for righteousness, we will be filled. Thank the Lord. That's the word of the Lord. So I'm going to encourage us, wherever you are in your walk with the Lord, whatever level of maturity that you are, don't compare yourself to others. The scripture is so plain. Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. It is not wise. There's two reasons why it is not wise. One, if I am farther down the road spiritually than you, and I see you, remember the babe that was carnal? I see you doing things that I can't do. I will, getting by. I might compare myself. Well, if they can do it, I can do it. And I will backslide. See, it depends on where you are. This one that isn't as far down the road as I am, and they have a conscience that is not hurting them, they're clear with the Lord. So either way, I can compare myself to a younger person in the Lord and I will be lost. Or this one that's not as far along can compare himself or herself and think that she has to be or he has to be further down the road and press beyond what they are living and believing and understanding. It was often said to us when we were younger, don't testify above what you're living. Don't even try to live. Now that might sound negative, but it's wise. Allow the Spirit of the Lord to lead you and guide you and teach you one step at a time. One level at a time. Not that we are here comparing levels, but God knows where you stand. And He knows what will help you get to the next stage of your walk with the Lord. So this says that even you and I are needing tutors and governors all along the way. So to come to a spiritual maturity, we all are going to need teaching. And our little burden that we had last Sunday night concerning the Holy Spirit, it's still a burden. Remember what we said was the watchword after Christ ascended and the church was new, the church was growing, and the word was being taught, and we said, it was like a watchword. Have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And that should be our watchword today. If we've been saved a long time, don't be happy to stay in that state. Pursue, seek after, reach for the infilling of the Holy Spirit, because it will teach you something. It will guide you. And the scripture said that, and that's what we were trying to bring out. The benefit of having the Holy Spirit, he said he would lead us and guide us into all truth, and he would bring back to our mind those things that we may have forgotten. Have you ever forgotten something? A scripture? And you couldn't recall it? You might recall one word of it, but you couldn't remember even where it was found. Have you ever done that? I have. Maybe the Lord gave me a little inspiration, and I thought in my mind, oh, that's probably going to be a message, and then it's gone. What I do, I go to the Lord. I start saying, Lord, bring it back to my mind. You promised that the Holy Spirit can do that. So the Spirit of the Lord is vital in our spiritual maturity and our work, our walk with the Lord. So I want to speak just a little bit about lessons. God uses lessons to teach you and me, to guide us, to give us knowledge, to help us to grow spiritually. He uses lessons. So when I say that, don't you automatically think about going to school? Don't you know that living for God is just like being in a school? You've got your teachers and your governors that are going to help instruct you. And then all of a sudden we begin to have tests. Do you pass the test? Did you study for the test? When you were in school, did you just haphazardly go in for a test? Or was it important to you that you understood the material and that you passed the test? Well, that's what we're going to do now. We're going to learn lessons. Lessons to do what? And I just have some portions of scriptures. I'm going to read them to you. Lessons to grow up unto him in all things. See, that's a portion of a scripture. That's what the lesson will achieve in your life. That you would grow up unto him in all things, everything. Whatever the Lord is putting in your life or trying to open up your mind to or give you understanding, that there's going to be a lesson and you're going to have to pass the test. And then it says lessons to grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord. That's one of the things I need to achieve, and he's going to put lessons in my life that I'll be able to grow in grace and grow in knowledge. And then I will have a lesson to increase and abound in love to all men. Do we have to have some lessons sometime to teach us that? Yes. Absolutely. You and I are just common men and women, and we're affected, and we can be offended, and we can be hurt, and he's going to send you some lessons now to teach you how to increase and abound in love to all men. And he's also going to send lessons to increase in the fruits of your righteousness. You don't want to just say, well, I have love and peace and joy. And he's wanting you and me to increase, not just be satisfied with a low level. Reach forth. Wasn't that one of the scriptures too that Paul said? Reaching forth. We have to reach for these things. And then it says, I wrote this part in here, increase in the fruits of your righteousness. Because when we have the fruits of the Spirit operating in our life, it will affect, it will either cause us to increase or decrease in our righteousness. And then lessons to the perfecting. You know, there's a scripture that says he will perfect that which concerneth you. How does he do it? With lessons, with tests, with trials, with a trouble, with sorrow and grief. And you can just name it all down. And I have a scripture in Job 17 and 9. It says, the righteous also shall hold on his way, shall be stronger and stronger. I don't know that I've ever read that scripture before. But what does it mean? The righteous also shall hold on his way. That means hold steady. Don't backslide. Don't have any failure to go back. But it says if you'll just hold on your way, you shall be stronger and stronger. Thank the Lord. Another scripture in Psalms 92 and 12. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree, and he shall grow like a cedar. There's lessons in those two trees that you might search out. You might go to your private devotions and read about a palm tree and find out what did the scripture mean that I would flourish like the palm tree. I'm not familiar with it. I'm not going to be able to pass that information on. That's how you will learn a lesson. You want to flourish spiritually? Find out something about the palm tree and find out something about the cedar tree. And then I have a scripture in Zechariah. I actually have two scriptures that's going to go together, sort of. I'm going to give parts of both. Zechariah 13 and 9. And this is how he's going to teach you and me. I will bring through the fire. He's going to use some fire sometimes to teach us some lessons that we can be stronger and stronger, and that we can flourish, and that we can grow. And you and I want to push the fire back. No, not that. No, Lord, not that. Do anything else, but not that one. So he will bring through the fire. I'm just going to give you parts of this. And he says, I will refine you. I'm putting that in there. As silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. And what do you think of? Somebody give me a portion of a song about his reflection there. Who can give me that phrase in a song? Till. I can't hear you.
Till the costly jewels of his grace I wear.
It's part of that song, but there's something that speaks in that phrase that says his reflection. Till thy glorious image is reflected there. That's what he's trying to do in all of us through the lessons that he's bringing into our life, is to produce his reflection. Oh, it's a glorious thing when his reflection is in our lives, and we are a glory to his name then when his reflection is there. So that came to my mind. Malachi 3 and 3, very similar verse. It says, I will bring through the fire. So here's two of them. This is what he's going to use to Give us lessons. I will bring through the fire and refine them as silver is refined, and purify and purge. These are key words. I'm not reading the full verses. I'm giving you key words because they affect you and me today. He wants to purge us and purify us and cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. And then I put this down there. That, so that they may offer unto the Lord an offering of righteousness. Our offerings unto the Lord cannot be fleshly. It cannot be carnal and be accepted of God. We have to be crucified. We have to have the purging and the purifying and the cleansing and the fire. It's got to do something to self. You've heard me tell this before, but it was one of my experiences. Hold on to the word experience, okay? Because we're going to talk about experience in a minute. The Lord was calling me to the ministry, had been for some time. I was at Monarch. Healing day wasn't a healing day message. Whatever was said in that message, I don't know what prompted the Lord to speak to me this way. But the Lord spoke to me. I was not in the ministry at that time. And the Lord said, my ministers are not always going to be liked. And you want to be liked. And you will compromise the truth to be liked. And as soon as the Lord said it, I knew it was true. Never saw that in me before. Never realized I had that weakness. I went down to the altar, far end, Monarch. Sister Hargrave and Sister Sammons, I could not say the words that I was being called to the ministry. I was resisting that. All I could say to them was, I want to be liked. And I wept and wept and wept until I was sick. And I knew that I had to die. I had to be crucified in that thing because I would compromise the truth for people to like me. We prayed the whole time during the healing service, and I was finally able to consecrate to not being liked. Did you know that that's something that every one of you need? Because we all have a tendency to want people to like us. And there's nothing really bad with that unless it hinders us spiritually. Or unless it would cause, like me, to compromise the truth for you to like me. So, you see, God has to teach us these things, or we would never see them. He has to purify us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness before I can offer unto Him righteousness. And I made it like this. I said that they may become mature in righteousness. You can't grow in righteousness while self is still producing itself. So I have another scripture in Luke 6 and 48, and this one's very familiar. It says that there was a man that built his house on the rock. He digged deep to find the rock. I put that in there. And he laid it on a foundation on a rock. And then I'm skipping over to Matthew 7 and 25. It just says it slightly differently. And it says the rains and the floods came. The winds blew. There's something here that is going to help you and me after we have built our house on the rock, not before. Life is going to happen. Life lessons are going to happen. And the rain is coming. The floods are coming. The wind is going to blow. And it's going to beat upon your house. And it will not fall because you're found on the rock. Now, I could give you the negative side of it, of the one that built on the sand. But I wanted you to be challenged to build on the rock. Because life is going to happen.
Yes.
And the winds and the waves and the rain and the... it's all going to come. And it's going to be part of the lessons from God to bring you to a place of maturity spiritually. Now, what was the man that built his house on the rock? What was he called? He was the what? He was the wise man. So I want to talk to you a little bit about being wise. These are definitions that I got for being... I'd never looked it up really like this, but it really spoke to me. Here's one. Showing wise. This is what it means to be wise now, spiritually, okay? Showing experience, knowledge, and good judgment. Now hold on to that one. Responding with careful thought, careful consideration in a right choice. See, we've been hearing quite a bit about we're making choices all the time, every day. You're making a choice one way or another. I am. It's when I come through the storms and I have made my choice, it becomes an experience. Can you look back at some experiences in your battles where you gained something spiritually? It was because you were wise. You made the right choice. You had careful consideration in a right choice. Thank the Lord. So let us be wise in the battles of our life, in the storms that come, and the lessons that we are intended to learn. Let us be wise. And have careful consideration. Count the cost. I think that could be added in there. Count the cost. Count the cost of a positive choice against a negative choice. There's a price. There's a price you're going to pay if you choose the negative.
Yes, that's true.
Sometimes it's long lasting. And it yields things that you later wish you had not made that choice. But if you're wise and you make the right choice in the right direction, you can look back and say, thank you, God, that you spared me from that kind of life. He will let you see where you could have been. I believe that. I want to tell you something. God let me see where I could have been had I not gotten saved the night I did at Monarch. I can only tell you, I know it's true. I would not be here tonight. I believe it was my last opportunity. But He spared me from a life of degradation and sin and heartache and tears and sorrow, and my children wouldn't be here tonight had I made the other choice. Thank the Lord. Romans 5 now, verses 2 to 4. Trust that the word of the Lord will sink down in our hearts tonight. The 5th chapter, 2-4, it says, by whom, and I'm just going to read the last part of verse 2, Rejoice in hope of the glory of God. Do you rejoice in the hope that you have tonight of eternal life? Or do you think about it? We need to think about it. We have a hope. We have a song about hope that may not be the most pleasant tune. But look away from the tune and read the words and let the words speak to us. Verse 3, not only so, I say rejoicing in hope, not only so, but we glory in tribulation. What is tribulation? Tribulation, I have a definition that says the cause of great trouble or suffering. Some synonyms is heartache, grief, distress, difficulty. We can glory in those things. Can you? It's hard. But if you're wise, you'll have careful consideration of making the right choice. Don't let great trouble and suffering and grief and distress and difficulty and heartache turn you back. Be wise, because there's something that will affect it. And here's what it says. We glory in tribulation, knowing that tribulation worketh something. Teresa and I were on our way to church, and she's talking about, I know the Lord is working on my patience. You and I can get to thinking of patience as being docile, unaffected. Don't you sort of think of patience, oh, they're just so kind and they're just so quiet and they're just this and that? Patience is a very deep word. You know what patience is? Endurance. When you say the word endurance, what do you think of? Enduring hardness as a good soldier. You endure hardness. Patience means capacity or the grace or the power to tolerate tribulation, to endure it, to go through it and come out okay on the other side. So tribulation has its purpose, that you will build up strength and be stronger and stronger by enduring it, waiting. There's a lot of waiting on the Lord. In all of your walk with the Lord, there's a lot of waiting. So it says now, tribulation worketh patience. Patience does what? What does it work?
Experience.
An experience is so vital that you be the wise man, choosing the right outcome. Experiences are so valuable if we have the victory.
Yes.
You know what it becomes? It becomes your story. And Sister Catherine, she had many experiences.
Yes.
And she told them only one time. Over and over and over, she told the... Do we tell things only one time? We don't. That's the value of the experiences that you gain as a result of going through tribulation, learning the lesson, passing the test, getting the patience, the endurance, and now I've got the experience. And the experience will live with us. The scripture speaks about going from strength to strength. I call that victory to victory. Don't stay in this victory. Go on to this victory. That experience is going to help you for the next time. Thank the Lord. So our final scripture and the lessons learned gives us the hope. Our final scripture is 1 Timothy 4:15, and it's simply a little admonition. I am admonishing you with this scripture, okay? I would like for you to take it home with you. Meditate. This is how it starts out. Meditate upon these things. Give yourself wholly, W-H-O-L-L-Y, completely to them, that thy profiting or thy growth or thy maturity or stability, whatever word you want to put in there, may appear to everybody else. So that's the admonishment tonight, that we meditate on these things, allow them to sink down in our hearts, and allow them to work in us the work that God is purposing, that you will be a vessel unto honor. I love that. I'm using that more. I'm praying more that I would be a vessel unto honor. Thank the Lord. Pray for me.